Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm sorry. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Monday. It is the 10th of October, and it is our last week on the radio. And I have 1,000 thoughts that go through my mind, knowing that I'm not going to be talking to you anymore, and tonight is not going to be a night for them. We have a lovely guest with us this evening. Our spiritual message tonight is the prayer of protection. I received, you know, the little plastic cards that you can put in your purse or in your wallet, and I received it from Lily, and you know, I had Jessica with me today, a friend's daughter, and they're friends of my grandchildren. When we say the blessing at the table, and the girls have eaten dinner and breakfast and lunch with us so many times, and we always say a blessing, and then we do the prayer for protection. And today when Jessie saw the card, she brought it to the table with her. She said, "I always get it mixed up, Mo, and we forgot to say it at breakfast time, so we better say it this afternoon." And that was really precious to me. The children appreciate, they more than appreciate, they feel when we are willing to take the time to say their nighttime prayers with them, to say a blessing at the table. And we don't have a rote blessing. Whatever is in my heart is what I say. And if I forget, the children remind me. The prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The presence of God watches over me. The power of God protects me. Wherever I am, God is. And our guest this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is Darren Weeks, our webmaster extraordinaire. And Darren also, as you know, he's been on with us a few times. He's had his own time on the hour after ours on American Exposé and when Sweet Liberty, when I go off the air. Darren is going to pick up that time slot on the Internet, and he'll be with you, our Internet listeners, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 9 p.m. And folks, those of you who have shortwave radios, I know, and I'm not urging you to get a computer, but you can get a very expensive computer for simply being able to pick up Internet radio. And just a thought. Except I understand, for those of you who don't have computers, I understand why you don't have them. And I would never encourage anybody to get one, as much as I use mine and as helpful as the research potentials are on the Internet. There's almost nothing you can't find. But anyway, Darren Weeks, thank you so much for being with us tonight, my dear.
It's my pleasure, Jackie. I just want to add one thing to that. There is a way to get the network outside of the Internet, and, of course, it is on KU band satellite. And I guess the dishes for the KU band satellite, they start right around $200.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yes, you can get a, I guess you can get a small dish and pick up the First Amendment radio off the satellite, and it's digital quality, so it's very clear.
Dear, and I did not know this. You mean people who have a small dish? Anybody who has a small...
Well, no, not just any small dish. You have to have the right receiver and everything, but if you got the right receiver and L&B, I mean, I'm not, you know, entirely versed on how it all comes together, but I know that you can order a complete package for right around $200. I know Nicholas at the network, he has information about that, so I don't want to put more of a burden upon him, but I'm sure that he could get the information to somebody who wants it. I don't know any other way to do this, but to maybe give the network's phone number.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just writing it down. Go ahead, Darren.
It's 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. And like I say, I hate to put more of a burden upon Nicholas, but I'm sure if it's going to lead to more listeners to the network, he won't mind that much.
Right. Thank you. I did not know that. And you know, we really should have that on the website. Do we have that information at Sweet Liberty, Darren?
I don't know, but we certainly could put it there.
Boy, I think that would be a great idea, honey. Of course, you know what? Yeah. Well, of course, the Internet listeners.
Of course, the people who listen on shortwave won't have access to the
That's right. Well, they will.
Website anyway.
Yeah, they will, because they go to the library and they go into the website. And by the way, I announced a few weeks ago, one of our listeners called me and was at a library and the website was blocked. But he said he's now able to get into it again, so it might have been a temporary situation. I think it would be good to put that on the website, just to have it there. And, Darren, we didn't talk about this, and maybe I shouldn't ask you this on the air, but when you go on 9 p.m. Monday through Wednesday, is it still going to be Darren Weeks, Sweet Liberty with Darren Weeks?
I'm not really sure what to do about that. I figured we would just leave it alone and let it stay the way it is.
I love that. I really...
I don't know how you feel about that.
Oh, no. There's nobody that I can think of that I would want to be broadcasting under that name except you, Darren.
And well, thank you.
I
appreciate
that. Sincerely,
that.
Honey. Well, we've known... We're on the same page.
Well, and we need more people on our page.
Yes.
Unfortunately, many people are distracted by countless other areas, you know. I mean, even within the Patriot movement, people are off step and off beat. You know, people. We find a number of people that are trying to beat up on George W. Bush, you know, and
like
during the Clinton
George
administration, it was the same thing then.
Right, like it's George Bush who's in control here.
Right. You got to understand that these people, these presidents, are just straw men. You're supposed to hate George Bush. You're supposed to hate Clinton because these people are there for you to hate. They're there for you to blame, you know, because that shields the people that are behind the scenes that are really the movers and shakers that are doing the real terrorism today.
That's a perfect way to put it.
I haven't talked to you too much about all of this information, but back in 1972, there was a report that was published that was the Rockefeller Commission. Have you ever heard of that?
Vaguely.
Okay, there's been others as well, but back in the March of 1972, and see, we talk a lot about sustainability today because that's what that's the direction that we're headed. That's what their agenda is under the United Nations system.
When
the agenda,
Darren, when we say sustainability, then it would be good to define sustainability in their minds and in their intent.
Okay. The definition that they keep using all of the time is the ability for this generation to meet its needs without compromising future generations' ability to meet their needs.
Okay, that's the ostensible intent.
Right.
Okay.
That is what they say. They say that everything that we're doing, our consumption patterns today, our production patterns today, our population patterns today, They're all having a devastating impact upon the earth, the ecosystem, wildlife, you name it. Everything that we have today is being messed up by our present consumption, production, and population production. So,
they even blamed Katrina on the overconsumption of Americans' oil consumption.
Right, the burning of so-called fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And that's creating what they say is causing the ocean temperatures to rise because of this purported global warming that's going on, which all indications are that this is just a part of a natural cycle, you know. But we have today there's a lot of evidence to indicate that weather manipulation is going on. We don't know the degree to which it is. We have this HAARP facility in Alaska. We have no way of getting really to the root of what that is all about and what experimentation is going on there. And then we have Jim McCaney, who says that they have the ability with weather satellites to manipulate hurricanes.
Well,
to use laser beams down, and I know you've had Jim on your broadcast.
Yeah. Well, listen, that article that we have in our weather section.
Uh-huh.
It literally alludes to that. You know, that was one of the reasons that I brought Jim on, because when I talked to him the first time on the telephone, he was saying, "Oh well, it isn't HAARP. HAARP is outdated. It's done from satellites." And then when I asked him if he absolutely knew that, I mean, did he have verification, he said, well, he watched a weather control situation in California. And I asked him if he saw the satellites. He said, no, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but that's what it was. Well, okay, then when I was reading an article that you posted in our weather section, they alluded to the satellites. And it gave credibility to what Jim was saying. That was why I brought him on.
Right. Well, we know that never before in the history, I won't go that far, but we're seeing an increase of these kind of things, and they're saying that we're going to have more and more of these types of phenomenons. We have the terrorism phenomenon that we know through our research of September 11th, another so-called terrorist acts, that these things are contrived and orchestrated by the same people, the same critters, that are pointing the finger elsewhere. And for what reason do we have? Well, to keep the population in a perpetual state of fear, so that we're all very easily manipulated, so that Big Brother can come and save us. But it creates an atmosphere. And then now we have this new thing, this pandemic that they're saying.
Yeah, the avian flu.
Avian flu.
I'd like to interrupt here for a moment.
Go ahead.
When you mentioned the terror, I thought about the protocols, and the book was laying beside me here. It's been laying there for weeks, probably. It's mentioned in the protocols 100 years ago, and when I picked this book up, it was on that page, Terror. It says, I forget which protocol this is. I can go back and check. It says, it is from us that the all-engulfing terror proceeds. We have in our service persons of all opinions, of all doctrines, restorating monarchists, demagogues, socialists, communists, and utopian dreamers of every kind. We have harnessed them all to the task. Each one of them, on his own account, is boring away at the last remnants of authority, is striving to overthrow all established form of order. By these acts, listen to this, all states are in torture. They exhort to tranquility. In other words, we beg for some relief here. They're ready to sacrifice anything for peace. But we will not give them peace until they openly acknowledge our international super government and with submissiveness. 100 years,
right.
100 years ago, Darren. That was protocol number eight for any of our listeners who want to check it out.
We know that much of the 20th century has been designed to build the foundation for world government. And the 21st century seems to be the century that they intend to get it done, to build upon the foundation they've already laid, and to put the finishing touches on the project. I keep thinking, you mentioned that quote, I keep thinking about the quote from Kissinger that we have in the war section,
mm-hmm.
where he said that today people would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles. Tomorrow they will be grateful.
Yeah.
Well, we have international troops entering New Orleans right now. We don't hear anything else about that, by the way.
Mexicans and Russians.
Yeah, and I heard that there's some Canadians there. I don't know what kind of military they have.
I know,
but
it
the
is.
Point is that
yeah.
we don't really have a military of our own today. Our military essentially has been given over to the United Nations. If you need evidence of that, all you have to do is look at all of the things that our military, all of the activities that our military is engaged in around the world. They're all United Nations operations.
Over 140 countries, Darren.
Absolutely. And the thing is that every country that won't go along with the project, with the agenda of world governance, that country is being targeted.
Well, would that happen to be, do you know about the terrible earthquake in Pakistan?
I know that there has been one over in Asia.
Yeah, it was in Pakistan,
okay.
they said, and it's on the border of Pakistan and India.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was in the, anyway, it was a very volatile area, disputed area. But it occurs to me because the president of Pakistan was quoted as saying that, you know, the Jews are in control of the world. Wasn't
mm-hmm.
it the president of Pakistan? And he hasn't retracted his statement either. And suddenly they have this 7.6 earthquake that has, God knows, only knows how many people have been killed. And when I heard about it, I thought, oh, okay, that's what they do to countries that don't go along. It's weather warfare is what it is, Darren.
Now, somebody can sit here and listen, and I know most of your audience is very well tuned in to what's going on and the big picture and everything, but just somebody who's casually listening would say, well, you're crazy, you're nuts to think that earthquakes could be set off. You know, we have that documentation about the tsunami bomb in the weather section at weather.sweetliberty.org. So tsunamis, they experimented with that. Also, you have to keep in mind, folks, that they talk about these things. They let these things slip out. And from the Department of Defense website, defenselink.mil, former Secretary of State William Cohen, Defense Secretary William Cohen, excuse me, under the Clinton administration, he had a press conference and he alluded to this ability to set off earthquakes. Some reporter asked him a question about a scare in Washington dealing with some kind of threat. Now, I'll read you a little bit of this transcript here, which I'm reading directly from the military, the defense website.
And that's in our weather section?
Yes, we have part of that quote there, and then we have a link to the full transcript.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
I encourage anybody who has internet access or who can go to the library to check it out, because a lot of times they take these things down after a lot of attention is called to it. Verify this for yourself so you can tell your friends and family that you saw it actually on their website. But they say, the reporter said, let me ask you specifically about last week's scare here in Washington and what we might have learned about how prepared we are to deal with that. And then there's something that he said that's inaudible. And he answered, he says, well, it points out to the nature of the threat. It turned out to be a false threat under the circumstances. But as we've learned in the intelligence community, we had something called, and we have James Woolsey here to perhaps even address this question about phantom moles. And he goes on a little bit about phantom moles. And then skipping down, he says, there are some reports, for example, that some countries have been trying to construct something like an Ebola virus, and that would be a very dangerous phenomenon, to say the least. He says, Alvin Toffler has written about this in terms of some scientists in their laboratories trying to devise certain types of pathogens that would be ethnic specific so that they could just eliminate certain ethnic groups and races. And he continues, he says, and again, folks, we're quoting William Cohen, the former Defense Secretary of the United States. He says, and others are in designing some sort of engineering, some sort of insects that can destroy specific crops. Others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves.
What was the date on this, Darren?
April 28th, 1997.
My, my.
He says, so there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts, and that's why this is so important. Who are the terrorists, Jackie?
Well, they call themselves Jews, but whoever the heck it is, it's a hidden hand. It's a hidden hand. All of the ones that we see up front would be their general, so to speak, but they're not the ones, Darren. They're just
right.
They're minions.
They're the ones that you're supposed to blame, though.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
And that's the problem, is people have their eye off the real ball.
And it isn't Jews either, by the way. Although they call themselves Jews, and I believe that the reason they do is to cause hatred and divisiveness. And the pathetic whole part about this thing is that the everyday Jews, they call them their lesser brethren, they actually believe all the stuff that they've been taught from their, quote, holy book, the Talmud, that they are, well, it's in the Old Testament. They are God's chosen people. They are destined to rule the world. And by their halakha, their law, they are ordered to destroy any country in which they live, even if the host country welcomes them. And
I think what you're trying to say here is that religions today are being used to control the masses.
Oh, dear.
Manipulate the mind.
Not just today. It's been from time immemorial.
I have an aunt who I talked to just within the last couple of days, and she's a very praying woman. In fact, some could say she's just obsessed, you know, with prayer and you know, reading the Bible and everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was talking to her, and I mentioned she's saying, you know, well, all the people that she prays for, and she has a prayer list that goes, you know, in the hundreds. And I said, well, let me ask you something. How often do you pray against the New World Order? You know? And it got real quiet on the phone. Well, she says, that's scriptural, though, isn't it? And I says, it's evil. I said, it's evil. It's pure evil, and it will eliminate Christianity if it's allowed to be instituted. I says, they want to have you worshiping their earth, you know? And she says, yeah, but that's all scriptural. That's all in the Bible. That's got to happen. I couldn't get her to say that she would pray that these evil critters would be stopped. And it's all because of her roots in the Bible. And I know that this is a sensitive subject, folks, we got to battle. These people have declared war upon us. This Rockefeller report, and there's other reports as well, that human beings are screwing it all up.
Yeah.
And as a result, it only stands to reason that in order to be truly sustainable, according to the United Nations and these little boogers who are behind the scenes operating, in order to be truly sustainable, human beings have to be lessened. Humans have to live more lightly upon the earth, and the ultimate way to do that is to have less of us here.
Less of us here. We're coming in close to our half-hour break, so I would like you to get started on, you're going to share some of that with us?
Yeah.
Right, well, let's not do it and then have to stop. And I had a thought that I want to share when, you know, about praying against things, praying that something will be stopped. Jesus told us that the kingdom of God is within us. And maybe our prayer would not be that something gets stopped, but that we are listeners to that inner guidance, and that we will be the light in the world that Jesus said we are. Because if maybe, Darren, maybe if that were our prayer, we would all be doing whatever it is our purpose is here. And am I making any sense when I'm saying this? You know what I was thinking about this thought last night? That, you know, when I was just praying and talking to Father and said, my desire is to be a reflection of our Creator here. And then it occurred to me, Darren, the thought and the feeling is that we're not a reflection. A reflection is an image. But we are through us, not from us, but through us. By truly asking, what is it that I can do, and please help me to hear the guidance. And then each of us become that light in the world. Rather than praying against something, because I don't know, that doesn't it doesn't seem that, well, what it does is it seems that we're praying to some God, quote, out there to do something. We're asking for an outcome. Well, other people might be praying for another outcome, and so then we have to figure that our, quote, creator or God has to pick and choose whose prayer he's going to answer. And so if we...
Well, it all comes back to what his will is.
Exactly. In other words, exactly.
His will to be done, but I can't imagine his will is for the population to be under the feet of these people.
Well, Darren...
For all eternity.
This is my point. If we are believing and sitting and waiting for God to do something, maybe it can't be done because we're doing nothing. And that's my whole point, is that in this physical world, the light of the world is within us, because greater...
Well, we are his hands.
Greater
we
is
are
he.
His feet.
Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, yes. And so therefore, maybe our prayer should just be that we, or maybe it is a giving over, letting go, you know, the little let go, let God thing, but to just be so given and open to whatever it is that we are to be doing, and then I believe that we'll be doing it. And maybe each one of us, you know, in our own way, maybe reaching out to a friend in need, maybe smiling at a stranger on the street. I mean, every tiny little thing that we do makes a difference in this physical world.
Yeah, I believe that.
Thank you. And thank you. I thought about this last night, and I was hoping I would be able to express it in the way I felt it, that I'm not going to ask anymore to be a reflection, but to be a vessel, so to speak, Darren, so that light can truly shine forth. Folks, we're at our half-hour break here. We're looking, by the way, the airtime bill, when I send this current donation in towards the end of September, we're only going to be $8,000. I thought it was going to be someplace around 12 or 13. And so, folks, if you, in your heart, would like to help me to get this bill down, because when I go off the air, I have to pay it off. It's the debt that I owe, and this has been for you all these 10 years. So anyway, if you'll get your pen in your hand, you'll get my address on this page.
You're listening to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Darren.
Yes.
It's very exciting to talk with you. And
thank you.
I am so glad that you're on here with us tonight. So our shortwave listeners will have the privilege of you.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's certainly an honor to be here. We do this because of our burden. I told my aunt, I think a lot of times those of us who do this, we're misunderstood. People don't understand why we get into all that weird stuff, you know, and because they don't do the research, and they don't, you can't understand this without doing the research. I told her, I said, this is a calling for me. You have to understand, this is a calling.
Yes.
I'm fulfilling my purpose here, and that's what it is. We're doing God's work here, whether people realize it or not. The evil that these people intend to thrust upon the world, you know, has to be countered. There has to be a standard raised up against it.
And then somebody might say, "Well, what good is it going to do? What difference is it going to make?"
That's not our responsibility.
Well, wait, just let me follow this thought to its end.
Okay.
They might say, what good is it going to do? What can we do to, quote, stop it? This is darkness. They are in the darkness. They are of the dark. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember Ephesians? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, maybe by talking about it, because I've thought about this a lot. Why do I keep doing this broadcast? Nothing is happening. You know, nothing's stopping it, Darren. It is, you're right, it isn't up to us to know the outcome of what we're doing, but it is so strong in me that the truth and love is light, and they are dark, and there is no opposite, of course, of light, but darkness is the absence of light, and maybe what we're doing is bringing knowledge and bringing the truth as we find the truth and share the truth, maybe that is the light, and that the people who hear this broadcast, they begin to share it, and maybe that's what it's all about.
I think our responsibility is to be faithful to the cause, to be faithful to what He has called us to do, and that is to expose these dark places,
it, yes.
Dark people.
Yes.
And the success of the mission is up to Him.
Yes.
We do our part. We do the feet work and the hand work, and we are His voice.
And the heart work.
And the heart work, and He's responsible for the success of the mission. And that's just the way I look at it. Once we have done all that we can do, we leave it in His hands and trust Him for the success.
Well, for the outcome, because maybe what we call success, maybe we don't even know, quote, what success is. And if we think that stopping the New World Order is success, maybe that isn't what it is. Do you understand what I'm saying, honey? That the outcome is in His hands, and we don't know what that outcome is. So, you know...
Well, I want it stopped.
Well, okay.
But that's my will, I guess.
Exactly, honey. That's what I'm saying, Darren. See, we get it in our mind. I've done this. I've been there. I've been done that. You know, thinking something should happen because of an outcome, in other words, and already this is what. And it's been the most beautiful lesson for me these past 12, 13 years because I have realized, truly realized, let go of the outcome. My perceived outcome, what I think should happen, and know that God is love and that that His will is abundance in all things for all of His children. And then so let go of our own, what we think should be an outcome of this thing. And you know what? I'm doing a lot of what I said I wasn't going to do tonight. I've had all these thoughts that have just been flowing through my mind that I've wanted to share with our listeners. And and I've done it. So you've got a report to share with us, honey.
Right. This is the Rockefeller Commission report called Population and the American Future. The report of the Commission on Population Growth and the American Future. And this is published in March of 1972.
Right.
And they quote Richard Nixon in here, who said on July 18, 1969, that one of the most serious challenges to the human destiny in the last third of the 20th century will be the growth of the population. Whether man's response to that challenge will be a cause for pride or for despair in the year 2000 will depend very much on what we do today. If we now begin our work in an appropriate manner, and if we continue to devote a considerable amount of attention and energy to this problem, then mankind will be able to surmount this challenge as it has surmounted so many during the long march of civilization. Once again, that was Richard Nixon in July of 1969. Now, they published this Rockefeller Commission on Population.
What do you think he was saying there, Darren?
The problem of overpopulation.
The lie.
Right. It has to be tackled. We have to do something about this.
Okay.
That's my short version of it.
That's now, good.
In chapter two, they deal with, and they have a lot of, they pretty much encompass quite a laundry list. They try to examine it from a variety of different angles. Scrolling down here to the table of contents, they have a perspective on population, diversity of views. Chapter 2 deals with population growth, the birth dearth, the boom generation, implications on growth, statistical things. They have population distribution. They deal with the growth of cities, and we hear today a lot about urban sprawl, how these cities are getting bigger and bigger, and migration. They deal with the effects of population on the economy, the resources of the environment, how government public service costs are going to go up as a result of higher populations. And they go into quite a laundry list of things. And then they deal in Chapter 11 with human reproduction. And they have contraception and the law, legal impediments for minors, voluntary sterilization, and, of course, abortion. They deal with the law relating to abortion, the moral question, health and family planning, and fertility-related services. And, of course, this was published in 1972. It was the following year that I'll note that the Supreme Court made their landmark ruling, Roe versus Wade, which tried to legitimize abortion in this country. So, and they deal with abortion in here. And so I believe that this is a forerunner of what we have today as Agenda 21, because Chapter 5 of Agenda 21, which is the United Nations blueprint for the 21st century, which was unveiled in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, they deal with demographic dynamics and sustainability. And in Agenda 21, Chapter 5, they say that demographic trends and factors and sustainable development have a synergistic relationship. They say
Wait,
the growth of world population.
Darren.
Yes.
Read that again. I lost that just from the beginning of that sentence.
They say demographic trends and factors and sustainable development have a synergistic relationship. In other words, I guess they're saying it's interwoven.
Okay.
The growth of world population and production combined with unsustainable consumption patterns places increasingly severe stress on the life-supporting capacities of our planet. These interactive processes affect the use of land, water, air, energy, and other resources. Rapidly growing cities, unless well managed, and remember, to manage is to control, unless well managed, face environmental problems. The increase in both the number and size of cities calls for greater attention to issues of local government and municipal government. The human dimensions are key elements to consider in this intricate set of relationships, and they should be adequately taken into consideration in comprehensive policies for sustainable development. Such policies should address the linkages or demographic trends and factors, resource use, appropriate technology dissemination and development. Population policy should also recognize the role played by human beings in environmental and development concerns. There is a need to increase awareness of this issue among decision makers at all levels and to provide both better information on which to base national and international policies and a framework against which to interpret this information. And it goes on from there. I mean, that's just one.
Okay.
That's just,
okay. They write it in such a way that you have to be able to read between the lines, underneath the lines, around the lines, behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Will you, now, I don't mean to put you on a stop, and if there's a spot, stop, if you don't want to, but could you summarize what you just read? I mean, the way you heard it, the way you know that they mean it, Darren.
Right.
Because it's, you know, when I'm listening to you, it's
uh-huh.
so different than reading it. Because
right.
as you're reading it, you're getting the feel, you're getting the sense and the knowing. But when somebody is listening, it they are so subtle.
Right.
With what they say that if
they choose their words very carefully.
They say what they mean. And they absolutely mean what they say.
Absolutely.
Would you be able
to... Population policy is what they're calling for.
Okay, and what...
Population control. And see, that's what, you know, really, it's been said that this agenda, Agenda 21, is the means by which they intend to organize all life on the planet. Now, that goes as far as animals are concerned, but it also goes... for human beings as well.
Well, you know what? You remember the 1995 book? It was on regionalism. They said that they didn't want to control, you know, the world. They just want to organize life on the planet.
There you go.
That's in our regionalism section, Darren.
But a part of... But organizing is controlling.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
And see, here's the thing. Whenever they have too many of a certain animal, they open up a season on it, don't they? They allow people to hunt it until the numbers drop enough that it's manageable.
They even put bounties on it sometimes.
Absolutely. So if you have too many of a specific species, these species have to be reduced. Do they not?
And we're organisms.
Well, what are they saying about human beings? The numbers are too many. As I refer back to the Rockefeller Report, Chapter 2 is on population growth. They say in here, the tremendous growth in the world's population is a recent development in the history of mankind. In pre-industrial times, birth rates were high, but hunger, ignorance, and disease combined to stack the odds against an infant surviving to the age of parenthood. Society's required birth rates, high birth rates, simply to keep themselves going. In modern times, the reductions in mortality have given the average person a longer, healthier life and have inaugurated a phase of rapid population growth. The world's population grew from 500 million around 1650 to about 1.5 billion by 1900 to 2.5 billion in 1950 and had already surpassed 3.5 billion by 1970. The world's total has doubled during the past 50 years, they say, and again, this is 1972. From the beginning of the Christian era to 1650, mankind increased by an average of 150,000 persons a year. Today, the world total is increasing by about 78 million persons annually. If current rates of growth continue for another 50 years, the world's population will number some 10 billion people. Anyway, they go on from here.
Darren,
but, yes.
Have you ever read the numbers? Somebody did the numbers as far as, you know, the population of the world using 6 billion as the...
Right.
Except, okay, and they took the state of Texas, and they took the square foot area,
uh-huh.
And what we find out by reading this is that all of the people in the world today, literally, and that isn't standing shoulder to shoulder, there's so many, you know, feet, if you would, or, you know, like area, like for a family. A family would actually be able to live in a house. And then if you took high rises and put them up, there would even be open spaces in Texas, Darren. That is the state of Texas, 6 billion people.
Well, add to that, here in the United States, we have a non-immigration policy, you know, and that's because we have on the horizon the free trade area of the Americas, the elimination of our border.
What do you mean a non-immigration? You mean a no immigration?
I'm saying we don't have one.
Right, exactly.
We have no immigration.
Oh, yes, yes, there is an immigration policy. It is
it is
the open borders.
Right.
Allowing anybody...
It is the elimination of
borders. Yeah, exactly. And giving them water and snacks while they're sneaking across the border. And
right.
If you don't do that, you're going to get sued under the UN Human Rights Commission.
Right. Absolutely. So, I mean, we have people coming into this country, and yet they're talking about urban sprawl. You know, that's the point here. As cities get bigger, well, why are cities getting bigger? Is it overpopulation, or is it the fact that we have a flood of migrants coming here, you know, and we have this kind of orchestrated stuff going on to create the scenario that we're overpopulated.
You have the dialectic in process.
Exactly, and that's the thing. We live a time where everything is the Hegelian dialectic. And so here's what I think. This is where we're going with all of this. All of these, this overpopulation lie, myth, that we're being fed today, it facilitates that they would only stand to reason that they want to reduce the population. And what better way to do that by creating some virus in some lab somewhere, like the avian flu, by engaging in these so-called black op operations, this weather warfare that's going on,
like the so-called,
creating earthquakes,
like
so-called natural disasters.
And the so-called avian flu.
Right. I have an article here, which was from The Guardian. I don't know what the date is, but it's a recent article.
That's, for our listeners, that's from England, folks. They
right.
The UK Guardian.
Yes.
It's a large newspaper, I believe, in London.
The headline is, Security Fears as Flu Virus That Killed 50 Million Is Recreated. They say scientists have recreated the 1918 Spanish flu virus, one of the deadliest ever to emerge, to the alarm of many researchers who fear it presents a serious security risk. Undisclosed quantities of the virus are being held in a high-security government laboratory in Atlanta, Georgia, after a 9-year effort to rebuild the agent, that swept the globe in record time and claimed the lives of an estimated 50 million people. So even as we're being told that this avian flu virus is going to be the next pandemic, you know, and already in Europe, they're saying that they're quietly looking for more morgue space to deal with all the victims that are going to be the victims of this avian flu virus in Europe.
Did you see that article that I sent you? That the avian flu, the 1918 flu, was actually caused by vaccines?
Well, see, here's the thing.
And the people who didn't...
Funny that you should mention that, Jackie. In the Telegraph, which is also out of, I think, London...
Yeah, the UK.
They say what has been described as the greatest public health threat in the world is the subject of a community meeting scheduled Wednesday at City Hall. They say the threat of the avian flu, what it means to you and your community, is the title of the presentation that begins at 6 p.m. in City Hall Auditorium. They say what is fueling media reports both nationally and worldwide on the avian flu is the absence of a vaccine and the nature of the virus, a virulent infection said to kill more than half of the people it infects.
Right.
Already over there, they're pushing for vaccination.
Well, they are here, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been storing up all these articles in my files, Darren. But the point is, the one that I sent you, I think I sent it last night, there was a man. Well, now, this doesn't mean that what I'm saying is true. He calls himself, I believe, a doctor. But what he points out in this article, that in 1918... and he was a little boy at the time. When this terrible plague broke out, they were mandating vaccines at that time. And I've got a lot of reports on that, you know, how all the countries that mandated vaccines, smallpox and whatever they mandated, the people got it. You know, there were terrible outbreaks. And this guy is saying that all of the symptoms that people had of this terrible thing that hit in 1918, they were all kinds of symptoms. They were pneumonia, they were bleeding, they were... And all of the symptoms that killed them were symptoms of the various vaccines that they had had.
Right.
And he said that their family escaped it because they wouldn't take the vaccines, and that his mom went around, you know, trying to help people. There were no all of the medical workers, all of the health workers had received the vaccines, and so there were no doctors and nurses to help anybody. People were just on their own, and the only people that, this is according to this, and I don't know if it's true, Darren, but it wouldn't be a reach to believe that it is.
We have many states, probably all states by now, the State Emergency Health Powers Act, which evidently, you know, you have the mandated vaccinations there. I'm sure it's written into the Patriot Act as well. So what's being created for us?
It's called population control.
Population
reduction.
Because in order to be truly sustainable, you have to reduce the population.
And Agenda 21 is the wrap-up of their plan.
That's it. It's and see, that's the thing, is I think people don't realize that Agenda 21 is not just any issue. It's at the core of every issue, you know?
It is all the issues, Darren.
It is all the issues wrapped up into one, and this will deal with it all.
Yeah,
and
depopulation.
Depopulation, the spying on the population, the organizing of life on the planet, all life, and the organizing of resources, including human resources. I believe it's the reason why we have the wars going on today. You know, we have the military implementing Agenda 21 in Iraq.
Yes.
You know, it's just insanity. You know, and yet people are completely in the dark about it.
some time back, you mentioned, you know, the sustainability and all life, you know, has to be controlled, et cetera. We
mm-hmm.
are organisms to them, the human
right.
beings. And I have the book here in front of me here, The Formation of Soviet Man, Cogs in the Wheel. And in the introduction, this is written by a Russian, Mikhail Heller, after so-called perestroika. He listened to what he said. This he said, there are no hostile forces in the Soviet Union today. They call this Soviet man, by the way, and that's the whole blueprint which they're working with, Darren. He said, the roots of the present crisis can therefore be seen to reach back to the remarkable success achieved in the formation of Soviet man, Homo Sovieticus. That charlatan, Trofim Lysenko, without realizing what he was doing, described the principal peculiarity of the regime. Now listen to this. This is a quote. In our Soviet Union, people are not born. What are born are organisms. We turn them into people. Tractor drivers, engine drivers, academicians, scholars, and so forth. That's ending the quote. And the author said, in the course of 70 years of building socialism, the regime has succeeded in, quote, making people who have lost all interest in work because they are convinced that those who, quote, made them are obliged to guarantee their needs once they have adapted themselves to life in special Soviet conditions.
Sounds a lot like
so
what
in the Soviet in the Soviet Union, people are not born, organisms are born, we make them into people.
So in other words, they're playing God.
Of course. Darren, are you coming back with us tomorrow night?
I'll have to check and see. I could probably do that.
Okay, well, but please let me know early enough in the day, honey.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back to you with you tomorrow night with Darren Weeks, hopefully. Thank you for being here tonight. And Darren, thank you, honey.
My pleasure, Jackie.
You are wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I'm nothing.
No, yeah, you
another
are,
worker.
You are a child of God, in whom He is well pleased, Darren.
Oh, thank you. That's
good
very
night.
Kind of you. And so are you. And everyone out there who
yes.
has their heart in the right place
yes.
and do, does what they can.
Yes.
You know,
we'll be back.
That's for America.
Good night.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily